There was a murmur of general agreement. Zacharias folded his arms and said nothing, though perhaps this was because he was too busy keeping an eye on the instrument in George's hand.
"Right," said Hermione, looking relieved that something had at last been settled. "Well then, the next question is how often we do it. I really don't think there's any point in meeting less than once a week."
"Hang on," said Angelina. "We need to make sure this doesn't clash with our Quidditch practice."
"No," said Cho, "nor with ours."
"Nor ours," added Zacharias Smith.
"I'm sure we can find a night that suits everyone," said Hermione, slightly impatiently. "But you know, this is rather important. We're talking about learning to defend ourselves against Voldemort's Death Eaters."
"Well said,"
barked Ernie Macmillan, whom Harry had been expecting to speak long before this.
"Personally, I think this is really important. Possibly more important than anything else we'll do this year, even with our OWLs coming up."
He looked around impressively, as though waiting for people to cry, "Surely not." When nobody spoke, he went on,
"I personally am at a loss to see why the Ministry has foisted such a useless teacher upon us at this critical period. Obviously they're in denial about the return of you-know-who, but to give us a teacher who is trying to actively prevent us from using defensive spells..."
"We think the reason Umbridge doesn't want us trained in defense against the dark arts," said Hermione, "is that she's got some mad idea that Dumbledore could use the students in the school as a kind of private army. She thinks he'd mobilize us against the Ministry."
Nearly everybody looked stunned at this news. Everybody except Luna Lovegood, who piped up,
"Well, that makes sense. After all, Cornelius Fudge's got his own private army."
"What?"
said Harry, completely thrown by this unexpected piece of information.
"Yes, he's got an army of heliopaths," said Luna solemnly.
"No, he hasn't,"
snapped Hermione.
"Yes, he has,"
said Luna.
"What are heliopaths?"
asked Neville, looking blank.
"They're spirits of fire,"
said Luna, her protuberant eyes widening so that she looked madder than ever.
"Great, tall, flaming creatures that gallop across the ground, burning everything in front of..."
"They don't exist, Neville,"
said Hermione tartly.
"Oh, yes, they do,"
said Luna angrily.
"I'm sorry, but where's the proof of that?"
snapped Hermione.
"There are plenty of eyewitness accounts. Just because you're so narrow-minded, you need to have everything shoved under your nose before you..."
"Hem, hem,"
said Ginny, in such a good imitation of Professor Umbridge that several people looked around in alarm and then laughed.
"Weren't we trying to decide how often we're going to meet and get defense lessons?"
"Yes," said Hermione at once. "Yes, we were. You're right."
"Well, once a week sounds cool," said Lee Jordan.
"As long as..." began Angelina.
"Yes, yes, we know about the Quidditch,"
said Hermione in a tense voice.
"Well, the other thing to decide is where we're going to meet.